Bible and turn with me there. We continue our study of this great book. We saw last time that leaders must be prepared and proved underneath the main section, honor God's servants. Today, let's look at B, hear God's word. Honor God's servants, hear God's word. And if someone would be gracious enough to read verses 9 through 13, 31, 9 through 13. Okay, George, I see that hand. And then I need someone to read 24 to 29, same chapter. 24 to 29. Bill? Okay. All right, George, go ahead. And then, Bill, you go ahead right after him, okay?
And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land, whether ye go over Jordan to possess it.
So it was, when Moses had completed writing the words of this law in a book, when they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there as a witness against you. For I know your rebellion and your stiff neck. If today, while I am yet alive with you, you have been rebellious against the Lord, then how much more after my death? Gather me to all the elders of your tribes and your officers, and I may speak these words in your hearing, and call heaven and earth to witness against them. For I know that after my death you will become utterly corrupt, and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands.
All right, thank you both. Really words of encouragement, right? Getting ready to go into the promised land. Moses is getting ready to die. And Joshua's getting ready to take over to lead the people into the promised land. And Moses said, by the way, you all are going to turn against God. You're going to forsake him. Things are going to turn real ugly real fast. And I don't know about you, that wouldn't exactly cheer me up. Would that cheer you up very much? Hey, guess what? Got good news for you. You're going to fail. Well, at Mount Sinai, God made it clear that Israel would not be like any other nations upon the face of the earth. They would be a people of the word who would hear and obey God's voice. If you recall back in chapter 4, verses 15 through 20, we read, take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, which of course means watch yourselves very carefully. For ye saw no manner of similitude or form on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance as ye are this day. So this is not a new subject. The people have been warned over and over and over and over again. And yet still their hearts very quickly and often turned away from the Lord and turned to idols, things made with human hands that can't hear and speak and have no use whatsoever. But yet they were willing to turn to them. Pagans had their idols. They were made by their own hands, and the fact is they couldn't speak, but God did speak to his people. God still speaks to us. What's the main way that God speaks to us? His word. His word. It's essential to our spiritual well-being. Obviously, without the message of the gospel found in the word of God, there'd be no salvation. In Psalm 115, I want to read this psalm because it's awesome and it goes along with the subject matter. Psalm 115, just going to read it, not going to say a whole lot about it other than it kind of speaks for itself. Psalm 115, verses 1 through 8, about half the psalm. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where now is their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. They have noses, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not, neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is every one that trusteth in them. And so just as the idols themselves have no life, they offer no benefit, so those that trust in those carved images and other idols really make themselves of no real value to the Lord, because how can God use one who is trusting in a carved image rather than the living God? So if Israel forsook the living God and bowed down to dumb idols, they would not be living by faith. Instead, they would be living by sight. And we know from the Word of God, and especially the New Testament, that when we live by sight and not by faith, it's impossible to please God. We cannot please God if we're living in the energy of the flesh and not trusting in Him and bowing before Him. They, of course, would be forsaking divine truth for human lies and superstition. God created everything by His word, didn't He? Everything. God spoke. And He chose to do it in 6 days. Could have done it in 6 seconds. But He chose to do it in 6 days, giving us a pattern, 6 days work, seventh day rest. Today, of course, we now rest on the first day. The first day of the week is Sunday. We celebrate that day instead of Saturday because the Lord resurrected on Sunday. It's Resurrection Day. We celebrate it. And He died for the church, and we're a part of His church, part of His body. God created all things by His word. He accomplishes also His purposes in human history by the word of God. Well, Moses, of course, kept a record, didn't he? No doubt God instructed him to do that, to keep a record. We call it the Pentateuch. Now, obviously, Moses died before the end of Deuteronomy. So the rest of Deuteronomy would have been, maybe it was Joshua, maybe it was another elder. We don't know who it was that finished. But most of the Pentateuch was already done. He then gave it to the priests, according to verse number 9, in charge of the carrying of the ark. And it was to be placed next to the ark. Now, remember, in the ark itself, which is covered, and it's talking about in the tabernacle, and later the temple, it was covered by the mercy seat. That's where we get the word propitiation in the New Testament, which basically means wrath satisfier. God's wrath was satisfied on the Day of Atonement. Once a year, the blood was sprinkled. The high priest went into the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. He was only allowed in there once a year, went through the veil, which was, of course, a picture of the flesh, of Jesus Christ, which of course was torn from the top down when Christ was hanging on the cross and he died, giving access to every single born-again believer that would come. We can go directly now into the presence of Almighty God. Think about that. Let that soak in. Couldn't do that in the Old Testament. Had to go through the priest, the high priest. Now every believer is a king and a priest. We are in Christ. He is in us. We can make our requests known unto God. We can approach him boldly, not arrogantly, not casually, not carelessly, but we can approach him because Jesus Christ died for us. He was buried. He rose again. It's on that basis, the shed blood of Christ, that we can go directly to God. Why is it that we so seldom make use of that tremendous benefit? God's really been speaking to me a lot about prayer. Prayer has become much more of a focal point in my life. I've always prayed as a Christian, don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you I didn't pray. But it just means so much more to me now, maybe because I'm getting older, I don't know. But all I know is that God does hear and answer prayer. So he gave it to the priest, and they placed it next to the ark in the Holy of Holies as a constant reminder of what would happen to the people of Israel if they forsook the Lord. Inside the ark were the Ten Commandments. But outside the ark was the whole of the Pentateuch. Future kings were required to write a copy. Now, probably they didn't do it themselves. They had scribes to do it. But they were to have a copy of the Pentateuch. They were to study it. And they were to keep it with them at all times. Moses commanded him in verse 10, saying at the end of every 7 years in the solemnity or the set time of year of release in the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths, B-O-O-T-H-S. Us Yankees, when we say that, it sounds like booze. I don't want you to think I'm talking about the Feast of Booze. Though that would probably go over pretty well in a lot of churches today. When all Israel's come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, literally little ones. Now, remember after a period of time when the law was not read, Nehemiah rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem and the gates. And Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, the word of God was read, and the people stood through the whole thing. Now, I don't know how long, I've never timed myself how long it would take to read the whole Pentateuch in one reading. How long do you think that'd take? Yeah, it'd take a little while, wouldn't it? But even the children were required to be there, and I'm a big proponent of children's church. I think it's awesome. I've known Christians that think it's a horrible thing. I think it's a good thing. I don't want to be taught as though I'm a little teeny child. And, you know, like when Kamala talks to us, like we're little kids. And I don't want to, I don't expect a child to want to hear on an adult level. Though I think the message should be simple enough that a child, at least the child, say, primary up, should be able to understand it. But on the other hand, I think I agree with Warren Wiersbe. He made this point. He said, you know what? He said, you know, we're into this grade, this everything is by grade. And we split kids up and whatever, and they're separate. And he said, sometimes I think it's a good idea to get everybody together. That's what we did when the singing group was here. We had everybody in here. I think it's a good thing that the family kind of get together once in a while and we all hear the word of God together. That's what was commanded here. Moses didn't say, look, take the kids, go back in another tent and have a kids' meeting. They all stood together, men and women and children, and even the sojourners, the strangers that are within their towns, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and be careful to observe to do all the words of this law. The main reason why it was read was to remind Israel to live in submission to their great God. We're seeing an unraveling of our nation like I never thought possible. I'm 70 years old. I went to school mainly, most of my years were in the 60s, few in the 50s. Graduated in 1971. And the 60s were turbulent, and there were problems, and there were issues, and there was a Vietnam War, and a lot of things going on. But I do not recognize the United States of America. It's not the country that I was reared in. Now, we're kind of sheltered here. We're in West Virginia. I love West Virginia. The Lord willing, I'm going to spend the rest of my life here. And thankfully, the state has turned. It was far left when I moved here. Now it's far right. And so we're kind of sheltered here. You know, things, I had to sign, I just got my renewal contract for subbing for next school year. They added something to it. I thought it was awesome. I was going to bring it and read it, and I forgot it. But basically, it's an oath. And I got it notarized. It's said to be notarized. I got it notarized. And it basically says that I pledge with an oath that I will uphold the Constitution of the United States. Amen. As a teacher, amen. Substitute. That's awesome. Because we have in major cities schools that are very much proactive in the transgender movement. Some are very much for not informing parents that little Johnny wants to be little Sally and wants to become a girl in the fullest sense of the word. Wokeism is sweeping our nation. There's less than 1% of the people are trans, and you would think the whole nation was, because that's all we hear about. So we are in trouble. We'll talk about that in the next hour without getting into a lot of gory details about it. I don't want to have the church hour be a list of what's wrong with America. But there's some things we need to talk about. Why? Because they're moral issues, and we're in West Virginia, and we're sheltered. Thank God. There aren't too many states that are like this state. Not trying to say it's perfect, but I'm kind of partial. I'm kind of partial, you know. I've been converted. All right, so future kings were to write it, study it, keep it with them. Chapter 17 of Deuteronomy. This to show how this, there's a lot of continuity in this book, and God knows that we soon forget. Sometimes we get upset. Pastor, you're repeating stuff. Well, that's how God does it. Why? Because we're stiff-necked and we don't listen real well. We might hear it. We don't often listen and internalize it. We need to hear the same thing over and over again, don't we? I mean, we all do. Jude, when he wrote Jude, he said, I really had a full desire to write of the common salvation, the basic tenets of the faith, but God has led me otherwise because we're being overrun by false teachers. In Deuteronomy 17, verses 18 through 20, it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, talking about future kings, God already knew the people would insist to get a king, they shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites, And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, but that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel, reminding everyone in Israel that the king is not above God's law, and that includes King Biden. Because we are living in what appears to be a monarchy, not a republic anymore. So the ideal king would be a king who desired to be obedient to God's will, and that was learned would be learned by reading the law, resulting in godly fear, and something that is lacking, not just in our nation, but in our churches, is a healthy, real, biblical fear of God. I mean, when you think about the depravity that is sweeping our nation, do you see anything that resembles fearing God? When our nation was founded, even those that weren't born again believers had a healthy fear of God. Not enough fear, because they would have been saved, but they feared God. They believed that God existed. I think the number has slipped below 50% now that are even in church at all. Every Sabbath year at the Feast of the Tabernacles, the law was to be read and expounded. As I read in verse 12. Gather the people together, men and women and children. Okay. In verse 13, and that their children. So the focus now goes to the children. Why? Because if the truth is going to live on, we have to teach it to our children and our grandchildren. We are seeing the results, and have for a while now, this is not new, of parents who did not teach consistently and live consistently the truth of the Word of God in front of their children. I know that some will grow up, they can grow up in the greatest Christian home on the planet, and their hearts can turn away from God, and they can go a totally different direction. I understand that. But far more children will follow the Lord if their parents not just say they're saved and made a profession and make an occasional appearance in church, but children that see mom and dad diligently seek to please God. Not be perfect, there are no perfect parents. But a child knows when a parent is real or a parent is not. They're not stupid. That their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. Then Moses summons Joshua. They meet together at the entrance of the tent. The pillar of cloud appears, which of course is the presence of God Almighty. Verse 14, and the Lord said unto Moses, behold, the days approach that thou must die. We already looked last time. It wasn't because he was getting weak and frail. He was still quite strong. His eyes were not dim. But it was God's time for him to move into eternity and Joshua take over and lead the people into the promised land. Behold, call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle, in the tent of the congregation. Some say the congregation of meeting, that I may give him a charge or commission him. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, which of course signaled God's confirmation of Joshua that he was God's choice. Moses didn't hold back in telling the people what God had told him. He didn't fear the people. I think too many pastors fear the people rather than the Lord and don't say what needs to be said. I mean, these are the last days of the last days. That's not just a preaching point. That's truth. How much longer can this go on? In my heart of hearts, I believe that November of 2024, if it goes the wrong way, I believe with all my heart, that will be the end of America as we know it, if we last that long. And I'm not saying that to try to be doom and gloom. I think we need to wake up. Again, we're sheltered here. Everything's fine. Schools, I sub a lot in high school. I do some in the intermediate school. And what's being taught is pretty good. Of course, you're going to have the evolution and that sort of junk that's taught. And they have messed around too much with history and trivialized it, took out some very important stuff and put in some nonsense. But I don't see any woke stuff, and I don't see any push for transgenderism and all that nonsense. Bathrooms is still boys and girls' room. Some schools have closed the boys' rooms, completely closed them. And they have, then they're building, taking millions of taxpayer dollars to build these specialized bathrooms so that boys and girls can use the same bathroom, taking millions. All right, so Moses told them what they needed to hear. They would become rebellious and stiff-necked. They would harden themselves against the Lord and continue to do whatever they wanted to do. Does that sound familiar? Skip ahead to verse 27. We're not going to skip the other verses. We'll be looking at those in a later study, Lord willing. But in verse number 27, "For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck." They were stubborn. "Behold, while I'm yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. And how much more after my death?" Moses knew well their abstinence, didn't he? He knew. "Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears. And call heaven and earth to record or to witness against them, for I know that after my death ye will utterly corrupt yourselves. You will turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days." Latter days there is speaking of very far distant days. Talking about the time when King Jesus will come and defeat Israel's enemies once and for all. He warns them, he said, "You know what? You are going to be dominated by practicing idolatry, and you will become wicked in the sight of God." We in the United States have plenty of idols. Plenty of idols. All right, some important lessons that we can learn from all this, some things to remind ourselves of. Number one, we must guard the truth. I think we should guard it with our lives, if necessary. We should obey it, and certainly we should pass it on. Unfortunately, there are few that are doing that. I I'm going to read some passages out of Timothy that go along with this point. We are going to, after we finish 2 Thessalonians, back the end of 2020, and then the beginning of 2021, of course, Barbara died. I was sick a lot of the first part of 2021, and we had gone through 1 Timothy, and we did not go through 2 Timothy or Titus. So after we finished 2 Thessalonians, we're going to go back and finish those. Somehow fell through the cracks when I got sick. 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 11. I'm going to back up to 10. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, you know what that's talking about, men stealers or kidnappers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine or teaching, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, or was being entrusted to Paul's care, as he, of course, penned a lot of the books of the New Testament. And then verses 18 and 19, this charge, this command or instruction I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before or were previously made about thee, that thou by them or following them might war a good warfare, holding faith, or continuing, bless you, continuing to believe the truth and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning the faith have made shipwreck, or shipwreck their faith. And then chapter 6, verse number 20, O Timothy, keep that, guard that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, or godless idle chatter, and oppositions, opposing ideas of science, or could be translated knowledge, falsely so-called. We have a lot of science falsely so-called, do we not? People that claim to have superior knowledge, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Because remember, as the psalmist said, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The fool, the empty-headed one that claims to be so smart. Second Timothy chapter 1, we'll look at these in detail. Lord allows us to get here. Hold fast the form, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. And then one more, chapter 2, verse 2. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. So number one, we must guard the truth that God has given us. Number two, we are one generation away from the church closing. We are one generation away from this church no longer existing. So what should we do? Well, we should study the Word of God. Be students of the Bible. Receive it, practice it, pass it on. You say, well, it's too late. My kids are grown. How about the grandkids, great-grandkids? Amen. Can't go back and undo, but we can go forward doing right. Can we not? Amen. Jude 3, the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. The only hope for America is not the Republican Party. The only hope for America is revival. A Holy Spirit-sent revival. I pray every night, every night, every night, God, please, please, please save America. please send revival. Please reveal to the minds of the people of the United States what's happening in D.C., how we are losing our freedoms one at a time. This is not a war Democrats against Republicans. This is a war between good and evil. That's not an over-exaggeration. We are in the midst of evil. Number three, the doctrines of the Christian faith were not invented by the early church, were they? They were given to the church by God himself. As I read Jude 3 just a second ago, the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. That's what we are to guard. That's what we are to obey and to keep and to pass on. That's the only hope. Number four, churches need less playtime and more prayer time. In many churches that have made the Word of God a sideline, kind of, you know, verse here, verse there, but no real study, it needs to be time for the Word of God to take center stage again. Which leads to number five. I remember when the kids were little, I wasn't real consistent at this. I should have been, but I wasn't. And I used the excuse, well, you know, I'm a pastor. They hear me all the time. They hear the Word of God all the time. They're in Sunday school. They're in church. They're in Sunday night. They're in Wednesday night. They're in Awana. They're in this. They're in that. They're hearing the Word of God. They're in a Christian school. They hear the Word of God every day. They have Bible study every day in school. So I wasn't as consistent as I should have been with family devotions. But I think that's become a thing of the past. Children are dropped off at the devil's schools. They spend 8 hours a day there. They hear nothing about God. If anything, they're going to hear something negative about God or the things of God or the people of God and faith. And then they come home and hear nothing. Mom and dad fussing and fighting, carrying on, and talking about the next pleasure adventure they're going to take embark on as a family. And there's no mention of the Word of God. And then we wonder why our children grow up and forsake the church, forsake the Lord, have no time for spiritual things. All they think about is the next pleasure time. And we see our nation crumbling around us. And I know we think that we in America are special and we're never going to go through things other nations have that turn their backs on God. But if God did not allow Israel to get away with it, why do we think we are going to be allowed to get away with it? We're getting ready to celebrate our 247th birthday as a nation. Will that be our last? We wonder why many marriages fail. Because their parents' and grandparents' marriages were not based upon the truth of the Word of God. And it's pretty evident that Christ was not the central figure in their lives. And so now the kids are growing up without God. And I can't imagine entering a marriage without God. But it's happening every day. All right, questions or comments before we go over the prayer list?
The life we live is a lesson we teach.
That's the biggest.
That's good
thing. That's the biggest truth right there. You've heard the old saying, you know, the only Bible that many people read is our lives. D.L. Moody, every Bible should be bound in shoe leather. I love that saying. Or as Eric Farrell once said, putting a little walkie-walkie behind our talkie-talkie. Continue to pray for the church. God will send revival. God will send folk that will stick. And that we will be faithful in inviting, leaving tracks especially those welcome cards at restaurants and different places we frequent. Pray for our nation. God can save America. I also, in my prayer, ask God to forgive our sins and heal our land. Pray for Ukraine, that will end. Pray for God's protection against our enemies, Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, terrorists. We are letting people come in by the multiplied thousands into our country, and they're not vetted. We don't know who is here. We are in a real risk. Law enforcement also added something I think we should remember, and obviously it's not that I'm saying these are the only missionaries, but especially for us, we should pray for our Southern Baptist missionaries that are around the world. I know we do when we have our special offering times, but let's make it a habit to pray for our missionaries. Pray for Mark's health. Pray for Lori. When's your next appointment, Lori?
I think it's the 20 or either the 21st of June for the one that did the colon surgery. Mm. And then my cancer doctor is the following Thursday afterwards.
Okay.
Doing good. Thank everybody for your prayers.
You're looking good. You are. Missy Nixon, Bill Nicholson, Ronnie and his mom. I talked to Judy, and she is in her house. She has a caretaker. She has an issue that needs to be taken care of, and they have it kind of planned way out, and she's trying to get him to move it up because now she's not able to get around hardly at all. Pray for Bill that God will rejuvenate those old wore-out kidneys and bring that blood pressure down. Also continue to pray for Mary's good health, as well as I pray for all of you every day, and God's been real good. Pray for Shannon as his mom's funeral was yesterday. Pray for God to give him strength. Keith Cavanaugh has been added. And also Greg Johnson. And they both had surgeries, right, Colleen? So pray for them. Colleen has been the one running the roads for them. All right, let's stand together, take these requests to the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you for who you are. And Lord, in spite of ourselves, in spite of our wicked hearts, in spite of how often we turn away from you, you draw us back to yourself, and you forgive us, and you cleanse us, and you hear and answer prayer. Help us, Lord, to take advantage of that great privilege to be able to call upon the Creator of the universe, the sovereign God, the transcendent God that is above all, to listen to our petty little requests. And Lord, we've called out people to you that need a special touch of healing. We've asked you, Lord, to work in our church and in our nation. And Lord, we don't deserve anything. We're not worthy. But we thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your son to die upon that cross. Thank you that the grave could not contain him, but he rose again the third day. And 40 days later, he ascended, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. And you promised in your word you would never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, we need you now more than ever. We're watching our blessed nation disintegrate before our very eyes. It's pretty obvious that there are some evil ones in charge that are seeking to do everything possible to destroy our nation. God, please put a stop to it. Please send revival. Please reveal to every American what's truly going on, that we would take the proper steps in the next elections, and that we would especially pray and seek your face and be willing to turn from our wicked ways so that we can see you heal our land, forgive our sin, restore us to the nation we once were. Help us, Lord, to be willing to tell others of your great love and the sacrifice of your Son, that they can enjoy the freedom that we have in Christ. Bless the coming hour, Lord. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to take about 10 minutes. We do have a Memorial Day video today.